Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading will be James 1, verses 26 through 27. James 1, 26 through 27. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows and the distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Thank you, Nico. Nico read a scripture that is really the theme for the morning message that we're about to receive from our brother Norman Atchison. We're really glad to have Norman and his wife Kathy with us, and extra special guest Monica, who is here too, from Manuelito Navajo Children's Home in Gallup, New Mexico. This is a ministry that we've been, at least in some small ways, being able to participate with and helping support for many years. And it's great to have you here today. Thank you so much for telling us about the story. I'm not going to quite give you the pulpit yet, though. So, no, just kidding. I've thought today about Acts chapter 14, where Paul and Barnabas come back from that first missionary journey. You know, they come back to Antioch. And it says, and when they arrived, they gathered the church together and declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And just thought of that today as I think here we're so blessed to have to come to us from this great work at Manuelito and come and share with us the good work that's going on there that we've had a chance to participate in. And it's a blessing for us, for you all to be here. Thanks for taking your time to come. And Norman, we really look forward to hearing more about the good work that God's doing. God bless you and continually in the work.
Good morning.
Morning.
How's everybody this morning?
Good.
You have to excuse me. I woke up with a little scratchy throat, so I'm coughing here and there. And I apologize for it. I'd like to welcome you to New Mexico, Land Enchantment, where the sunsets are beautiful. The other day, we were driving in, and the sunset was shining over the ocean and stuff, and it was just as pink and just as beautiful as can be, and I was going, hey, I think I'll move here. New Mexico is located near the Navajo Reservation. The reservation covers 27,000 square miles. It's the largest Native American reservation in the United States. It's in New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and the tip of Colorado and Utah. The unemployment rate on the reservation is one of the highest in the United States. The poverty on the reservation is one of the highest in the United States. As you can see up on the screen, we still have problems today on the reservation is alcohol. 40% of the men, 20% of women are in an alcohol program somewhere. The other two problems we have on reservation today still is water source, electricity. We have the opportunity to going home, turning on our faucet, getting something cold to drink. We have the opportunity going home, opening up our refrigerator, getting something cool to eat, sandwich or something. We have the opportunity turning on our air conditioner, being cool. But these people, they struggle each and every day. They don't have the opportunity. They've struggled like this in their entire lives. But they're trying to fix that situation. They're getting more water out on a reservation, drilling more wells so people can survive. Most of the people, as you can see up on the screen, this is how they get their water, by barrels on the back of their pickups. They even have trailers with big old water tanks that they can get water to help their family. They're trying to get solar panels out on the reservation to these families. The ones that are closer to town in certain areas, they're getting electricity out to the family. But they're very proud people. Even though they've struggled their entire lives like this, they have learned to survive. The children's home actually started as Navajo Mission on the reservation. There was two cinder block buildings on the reservation where this mission was. The one on your left was the chapel. The one on the right was the storage shed. This mission was put there by two congregations, one in Albuquerque, one in Shiprock, in Farmington. Well, the people at this congregation, the both congregations, could not come to support and oversee this mission like it needed to be. Well, in the later 50s, they asked Gallup Church of Christ to oversee this mission. Gallup agreed. They took over this mission. When in the time period that this mission started, the poverty back then was just worse then than it is today. The families couldn't support their kids with food, clothes. So they were struggling. So they knew this mission was there, and they started dropping their kids off at this mission, because they knew that there was somebody there that could take care of their family. Well, when Gallup Church of Christ took over this mission, they saw the need of the children. And that's when they turned this into the children's home. They took this chapel, they made it into the kitchen area, dining room. They took the storage shed right here. They put three rooms in it. They put boys on one side, girls on the other side. And the superintendent, the house parents that were running this children's home at the time, they had a room in the middle. But the kids were taken care of. This is Bernie and Noreen Atchison. This is my mom and dad. My dad was a master plumber in Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area. The gentleman that was running the superintendent at the time that was running the children's home knew my mom and dad. They sent a letter to my dad and said, I need help. I have so many kids here. I need help. I need somebody to come and help me as house parents. So dad called him, said, we will come and help you for about a year. Dad took leave off from work for a year, and they went out there and helped them as house parents. But the problem was, my mom fell in love with the kids. Mom couldn't have kids of her own, but God looked at her and said, I'll take care of this. Mom fell in love with the kids. Dad and mom moved to New Mexico, became house parents. Well, in that time period, this gentleman that was running the children's home, his health was declining. So he stepped down as superintendent. The church asked my dad to become superintendent. My dad was superintendent of the children's home for about 25 years. This is actually pictures from the old home on the reservation. You can see the smile on the kids' faces. They have food. They have clothes. They have somebody that cares. Remember, the kids that we get from the children we get off the reservation come from broken homes, alcoholic homes, abused homes. So they're happy with what they got. This is me and my family. I'm the little one with the cowboy hat on. I was 16 months old when I came to the children's home. This is me again. I used to travel with my dad when I was younger, before I was able to go to school. And mom said we were in Texas one summer, and dad was doing the presentation to the congregation. And some of the older ladies there grew a liking to me, and they went and bought my first cowboy hat and my first pair of boots. And I still wear them today. Not those boots. My wife let me buy a pair of brand new boots. This is me and my foster brother at the Tulsa lectureship. The lectureship back then was in this big old tent. where all the displays were. It was raining that day. Mom put me and my foster brother up on the table so we wouldn't play in the mud, get muddy before there was a dinner that evening. And so she put us up there on the table, and Mom said at the dinner that evening, a gentleman was speaking and looked down at my dad and said, "Mr. Atchison, I liked your live display that you brought this year." The children's home on the reservation was on about four or five acres. It wasn't very big, and we were growing. We were getting kids left and right. Well, Dad started looking for some property. He found this property here, and it's about 15 miles out of Gallup. He asked the gentleman if he was going to sell it. He said, "Yes, Mr. Atchison, but the problem is I need the money in 3 months. Well, Dad hit the road for 3 months, off and on. Mom stayed home and took care of the kids. Well, Dad's last journey on his work for trying to raise the money, he stopped at this one congregation, and a gentleman was doing yard work. My dad introduced himself, and the gentleman said, "Mr. Atchison, we're sorry, but the money we have saved up, we're fixing to pave our parking lot." My dad said, "I just wanted to put some roofs over some kids' heads." Well, they exchanged information. My dad went back to the hotel. The gentleman called him back a couple of hours, said, "Mr. Atchison, the elders would like to meet with you." My dad went back down to the church, talked to the elders. They wanted to hear the presentation. My dad gave them the presentation, and when my dad left, he had the rest of the money to buy the property. And now the children's home sits on 27 acres. It's amazing what God can do. You have to let him do his job. And you have to have a lot of patience. I'd like to welcome you to Manalito Children's Home. This is Kaya, one of our young boys. This is Jim and Judy Christian, superintendent of the children's home, and their daughter, Jimmy. This is Cottage 1. Cottage 1 and Cottage 2 was built in 1963. And we were able to move into both cottages in the summer of 64. This is Antonio and Josephine. They are our new house parents. They have all girls in their house parents. They've been house parents for about 4 months now. So they are getting their feet wet quite often. But they're doing a real good job. This is Cottage 2. This is the Wilson Cottage. And they have boys in their cottage. This is mine and Kathy's cottage. Cottage 3 was built in 1966. And this is our family. Our son, he goes to college in Albuquerque. Monica, she lives with us all the time. Me and Kathy are full-time house parents because we do have Monica that lives with us all the time. We are relief house parents. That means when the other house parents go on time off, all the house parents on campus get a week off once a month. So when they get their time off to rest from taking care of all the kids come to our house. Like we are back on duty on Tuesday, and so we will have boys for the first week. And then after that, we'll have the girls for a week. And then after that, me and Kathy back on the road for 3 weeks. Now, me and Kathy are also the public relations people, so we travel as much as we can. Also, we're taking care of the kids at the same time. We have a shop on campus. We have a wood shop, auto mechanic shop. We have a gentleman that comes in every day and works for us. He keeps our vehicles and he keeps our cottages up to date. The small building up there in front has a lawnmower and tractor in it, so we can keep our yards nice and clean. We don't have grass in New Mexico. We have weeds. But we do have to mow our weeds. The long building in the back, the front part right here is a pantry. Back here is a clothing room. We have a pantry on campus. It don't always look like this. This is a picture I took after we did a food drive. But we have a food drive that we do quite often when me and Kathy are traveling. We try to get churches that already support the home, try to get involved with the food drive, because we always have to have food on campus for our kids. When you're feeding about 25 to 30 people on campus, that includes the kids, plus the house parents, and if they do have kids, it takes a lot of food to feed everybody. We have a gentleman that runs the pantry. He goes on Thursday. The ladies give him a grocery list on Monday. He goes on Thursday and picks up the groceries. And then on Fridays, the ladies go back to the pantry and pick up their items. And then on Tuesday, the gentleman opens up the pantry again, and the ladies are able to go back to the pantry and pick up the items that they forgot. We have a clothing room. We have a lot of people that donate clothes to the children's home. This is Kathy washing some clothes that some kids needed that we just got. This is JJ. This is Monica's brother. This is me and him coming back from the office. And this is his little bag that he had. And this right here is all that he had in the bag. We have kids that come to the home that don't have anything. Maybe they have just what they have on. We had a family of four that came to the home. They had a trash bag, a black trash bag full of clothes for all four of them, and that was it. The clothing room, we are able to take our kids to the clothing room and give them the clothes that they need until we are able to get to town and get them some new ones. So our clothing room does come handy. We have been blessed over the past 4 years. God has really blessed us and answered a lot of prayers for us. This big trailer I have worked on, these two trailers I have worked on are getting for the home. The big trailer right here is what me and Kathy use for a food drive. We also use the little one for a food drive. But the big one is the one we mostly use, that we pull with us most of the time. But I got the little one right here for the houses, because when our house parents and our kids go on time off or they go on vacation during the summertime, we had to, in the past, we had to take one of the seats out to be able to get all the suitcases and whatever they had in there. So that means all the kids would have to get a little close. But this right here helps them to be able to just throw everything in a small trailer and not worry about the seats anymore. We have got new washer and dryers in the cottages. We need support to get some more for some of the other cottages. We've got new water heaters. This new water heater this past summer. We are working on getting new heaters also for the cottages, because we need to update our heaters as well. This is Cottage 4. Cottage 4 was built in 1967. It's our Christian school. We have a Christian school on campus. This is our gym. We have a lot of events that go on in our gym. One of the big things we do in our gym is when they have lunch, everybody goes to the gym to have lunch. But we started having a Devo after lunch. We come to realize that it's not only our kids that are on campus that need God. What about the kids that come from town and their family? What about their souls? Since we have started this, we have three families that have started attending Gallup Church of Christ. It's amazing what God can do. We have a banquet every year. Our high school kids get to go tear up the gym for a week. But after they get finished, it's beautiful. Jim and Judy Christian have a skating rink in town, and they also have a martial arts studio in town. All of our kids attend martial arts to give them some exercise, get them away from the TV and the PlayStation. So they go 3 times a week to martial arts. And it gives the house parents a little bit of rest too. When we get our kids from the reservation, this is like I said earlier, they come from broken homes. Their families aren't there to take care of them most of the time. So they don't know a whole lot. So when they come to the home, it's our duty to teach them about life, about their needs, about what they have to do. So this is one of the pictures that our young men, one of the congregations on the reservation built a brand new church because their church burnt down. And they raised money to build a brand new church, and our young men were able to go and help build this church. They went up there every weekend to help. The first couple of weekends, 3 weekends, the boys weren't excited. It was just something that we got to go. But after they got used to going up there every weekend, they started enjoying it. They were learning a skill. They had older men that were helping build this church, were teaching the boys how to do electrical, teaching them how to frame, teaching them how to do different things. They were excited about going, doing something that they have never done before. Teaching our young boys how to survive. So they were excited every weekend that they were able to go and help build this church. We're always busy. Whether it snows, whether I'm on the road, or whether Kathy's doing clothes, or whether the other house parents are trying to get their kids taken care of. We're always busy. How busy are you when you take care of your kids or your grandkids when you only have 2 or 3 to take care of? Just imagine that you have 6 girls or 7 boys to take care of. One gets sick, everybody gets sick. So we're always busy. This is some of our board members that run the children's home. During the summer, we get busy. We have a lot of youth groups, a lot of individuals that come out to the children's home and help us do a lot of different projects that we need to take care of. We have a brand new playground that was given to the home, and this congregation came out and they helped us put this playground together. Our kids, and we can't get our kids off of it now. They enjoy it. This is Haley. Haley's in college now, but she still comes out every year, every summer, to be with these kids. She was 16 years old when she started coming out to the home. She wanted to do something for the home. She started working. She raised over $1,000 when she was 16 years old. She sent it to the home by herself. And she still does that. She still comes out and works. She does different things with the kids. She does games and stuff like that. She even does Bible study with the young ladies. My mother and my father left me, but the Lord took me in and made me His. How true is that statement? We're all God's children, but there are some that out there that need God the most than we do. It's not these kids' fault. Think about that. It's not these kids' fault where they're at. All they want is just love. They just want somebody to love them. when we have the kids at our house, Kathy always does Bible reading, or she'll do a little story for them before they go to bed. The kids eat it up. They always ask Kathy, are you going to read to us tonight? You going to give us a story? Yes, I'm going to give you a story. When they go home the next day, are you going to finish your story when we come back? Yes, I'll start it. Finish it when you come back. All they want is just that attention. All they want is just somebody to care for them. When you don't have a mom and dad that's never around, you just want somebody's attention. And when you get it, you don't want to let go. We take our kids to LTC, our kids from church and the kids from the home. They do a lot of song leading and sign language and just different events that they attend. This is our group that went last year. Excuse me. Ever since Monica was little, when she came to the home, we've had her right before her second birthday. I started praying with her, and every night I pray with her. I don't have to get her now. She comes and finds me. Daddy, it's time for bed. We need to go pray. I'll let her pray, or we'll pray together. But I'm teaching her. I'm being the example that I need to be. Getting our young boys to get up to lead singing is an example. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. Who are them? We are them. Our community are them. Our young people are them. Teaching them. We have a responsibility of teaching our young ones. And that hopefully someday they can be part of our Christian family. Like I said, we get a lot of kids that come from the reservation that struggle. We give everybody on campus, the other cottages all have chores in each cottage. They have chores before they go to school. They have chores before, after they come home. They have chores before they go to bed. Just teaching them how to take care of what they have. Monica came home one day after school and asked Mom if she could make cookies. Kathy got the recipe out, showing her how to make cookies. Bad thing about it, I had to help Monica eat these cookies. Just teaching these kids something simple helps them with their lives. Like I said, giving them that attention that they don't get at home. We love our job. I love my job. It might get stressful sometimes. You just want to throw your hands up. But God put me in the children's home for a reason. When I graduated from high school, I moved to Texas. And I said I was never going to come back to Gallup, New Mexico, because I knew what it was like. I knew what my family went through. But God said, I got a surprise for you, Norman. He put a dot right there where Gallup was, and this is your life. I got a spot for you. I love my job. We all love our job. Getting our kids to be kids. You have kids that come to the home that take care of, you have the older ones that take care of their siblings. When they come to the home, they don't want to let go. You say, go outside and play. So I gotta stay here and take care of my brother and my sister. No. You don't have to do that no more. That's my job. I'll take care of your brother and sister. You go have fun. Go play. As you have our young boys that are having fun. Being kids. Even adults can be kids every once in a while. We have a 5K that we do every year to support the home. We do it in town. We have a lot of people that come out to our 5K and support the home. All the funds go to the children's home. We just got finished a couple of weeks ago, 5K in Victorville. They did a 5K for us. We encourage other congregations to get involved with our 5K if possible. We have a championship bull riding that we do every year, every summer. It's our biggest fundraising of the year. We have youth groups and individuals that come out and help us with the concession stand, the parking lot, and all the funds go to the children's home. This past summer, we, after paying all of our bills, we came home with $12,000. That's paying all of our bills off. So it's our biggest fundraising of the year. This is our four that graduated this past year. I ask you to look at these faces and these names. I want you to do me a favor. When you pray at night, I want you to pray for these four. Because as I told them, they're stepping in our world. The adult world. And they were scared to death. So I ask you to pray for each and every one of them to give them the strength that they need. What do you see? I see kids that need love. I see kids that are lost. I see kids that need hope. All the pictures I have shown you of kids, they're your kids. You provide shelter for them. You provide food for them. You might have two kids in your house now, but in the back of your head, you could think, now I have six more kids. We have 16 kids on campus. So actually, you have 16 kids that you've taken care of, plus the two or your grandkids you're taking care of. And we thank you for that because it gives these kids opportunity to become and to survive through life with your help. The children's home is not supported by the state of any means. The state does not come in support the home. Only individuals and congregations support the home, and that's the way it's been from the beginning. We do not want the state involved. This picture gets me every time. This is my mom. She passed away a year ago this month. She was 99 years old. This is me. This is my foster brother. This is my foster sister. All three of us right here grew up together. This is my mom. Can you imagine how many kids she gave her love to? She didn't have to, but she wanted to. If it wasn't for mom, dad, the other house parents, the individuals, the congregation as yourself, I wouldn't be here today talking to you. Because when the Atchisons came to the reservation and got me and my family, it was the middle of winter time. Mom said if they didn't come and get me when they did, I would have never made it through the winter. We lived with my blind grandmother. The children's home would come out and check on us and check on other kids throughout the reservation. and bring them clothes and food. Mom and Dad would bring us clothes and food and bring me milk and stuff like that. But the people that lived around us, they knew that we lived with my blind grandmother. My dad was never around. My mom was an alcoholic. She passed away when I was very young. So we never knew our family. But the Atchisons came and gave us food and clothes, and the other ones that lived around us come and rob us. And they would have to bring us more food and more clothes. So I put this picture in here for a year to dedicate it for my mom, for all the love and support that she gave me and my family and the children's home. I'd like to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here this morning. Your love and support helps each and every one of these kids. It gives them the opportunity of life. Gives them the opportunity to take that next step forward in their journey. Me and Kathy have a display out in the foyer. We'd love for you guys to come by. If you have any questions, we'd love to answer them if we're able to. We have plenty of brochures and other brochures there that you can pick up. We'd love for you guys to pick up one, take it home and look at it. But I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting this work, because it means a lot to me doing what I do now. I never realized how much work it takes to support or to take care of a bunch of these kids. Because I was probably one of the ones that was running around campus giving the house parents a hard time. But now I'm getting the hard time from these kids. So I know both sides of the fences, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. God has blessed me so much to be able to come back and to give back what was given me and my family. I'd like to change for just a moment as I offer an invitation. God has done so much for us throughout our lives that we tend to forget what He's done for us. And I'm guilty as everybody else. I let the world get involved in my life, and I tend to forget what God has done for me. I want you to look at your hand for just a minute. Everybody, look at your hand. Has everybody's gotten a splinter or a paper cut on your hand? It hurts, doesn't it? And it just drives you crazy. I know when I get a splinter in my hand, I try to dig it out. Even when I get it out, it still bugs me. But there was one young man. It didn't bug him at all. He knew where his life was going. He took that sacrifice for each and every one of us. But like I said, we tend to forget about our life. We tend to forget what we're here for. We let this world get involved in our life, that we forget about this young man that died on the cross for each and every one of us. He didn't have to take this road, but he did. I use this illustration a lot. How many streets can you take to get to this church? quite a lot. But there was only one road to take to get this. And that young man took it. He didn't veer off to the left. And he didn't veer off to the right. He knew where that cross was. Right there in front of him. And he took it alone. Why? Because he loved us. Young and old, babies, nephews, aunts, uncles, it doesn't matter. This young man loved us to take that road. We all know this memory verse by heart, but we tend to forget about the last part of it. For God sent His Son into the world to not to condemn the world, but to save the world. God did this for us. And Jesus died on the cross for us. Because they both loved us. God's greatest gift. What you think about that this week? God's greatest gift. What is your gift going to be back to God? When you see your next door neighbor or you see somebody in the grocery line, are you going to step back? I don't have time to talk. God put that person in front of us or put somebody in front of us so we can talk about Him to spread the word. Each and every day, God puts somebody in our path to that cross. But do we go to the side road? It's our responsibility to teach. Think about that this week. The invitation is yours. If there's anybody that has any need, you can come forward. There's somebody will hear that will help you. If you'd like to be baptized, they have the water here that you can be immersed for your sins. But it's your choice. But we're all Christian family. We will all join together. For any reason you need, would you come while we stand and sing?
Thank you, brother, as he goes to the back of the auditorium. And we appreciate being brought up to date on the wonderful work that is going on there in Manuelito.